Part of what I love about our job is I think that you learn nuggets of the future because the founders that you meet, they do think like the creators of Ready Player One or Black Mirror, and they just think in such a different way.
I'm Scott McGrew. Welcome to Sand Hill Road.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
I was listening to pitches from entrepreneurs this week, looking at what works well, what really grabs an investor's attention. It's easy to go through pitches because pitches these days are virtual or pre-recorded and online.
Pitch is a very important exercise, I think, for most entrepreneurs. And I think the reason it matters is because it is a skill, I would say, to distill everything you're doing into a few minutes.
David Iyama, co-founder of Account Story. You can find his pitch on the Berkeley Skydeck website.
So what is Account Story? Account Story is software that demystifies selling to the enterprise.
So, what is a pitch and why am I on 10 a day?
I sat down with Lightspeed Venture Partners Nicole Quinn to talk about the pitch, not just David's, but all the pitches she hears in a day or a week or a month.
A pitch is for us where we will have the great opportunity of being able to sit down with a really inspiring CEO, founder, and to hear their vision of the future. I always love thinking about the idea of three things: why this team, why this problem, and why this time, when thinking about whether we as venture capitalists should invest or not.
Having talked to any number of venture capitalists, I am not surprised, but other people might be surprised. You put the problem solution second. You mentioned the team first. That is really true.
That to me is super important. It depends what stage you're investing in, but I primarily invest in seed series A. So at Lightspeed, we do try to be the first institutional investor. And at that point, the CEO, the founders, the early team, that's everything to me. I would say that that is probably 90% of the reason why we invest at that early stage. And it really is because this is an exceptional founder.
People have been pitching over Zoom.
We're software that's solving the number one challenge that B2B sales teams face.
Did that change the way that you listened to a pitch or what you thought of a pitch? Or is that kind of the new standard?
It's changed everything, Scott. So I am an extrovert and I love meeting people in person. And that's what we would do. You know, I would probably meet 10 different founders in person a day, either at our office or their office or running around to different coffee shops. And that all changed. And so now you're doing it on Zoom. And listen, Zoom is much better than a phone call at being able to better understand who that person is and whether they're exceptional. But there's nothing that beats meeting somebody in person. And so I still try to meet them in person, even if it's not the first meeting. I'll try and meet them, for an outside walk, for a second meeting. And then also it increases the need to do references because you want to speak to other people who have worked with them before who can tell you, hey, this is an exceptional person, because you maybe can't get such a strong sense of that over Zoom.
You do investments, as you said, Series A, very early, and also you tend to invest in consumer-facing companies, right? That sounds more fun, to be honest with you, than investing in SaaS or B2B, that kind of thing. It just sounds like a more fun workday.
I am biased, but I would definitely agree with you. My background has always been consumer. I actually helped my father setting up online pharmacies in the 1990s, and then spent nearly a decade at Morgan Stanley covering, first of all, the e-commerce companies and then the technology names, London and then New York. And we did the Facebook, Pandora, and Groupon IPOs. So for me, trying to better understand what is a brand? You know, what really creates a household brand name in technology and consumer more broadly? And that's exactly where we invest. We're big believers in the changing of consumer behavior and creating brands. And so I definitely believe it is fun and exciting. And hey, that's also the product that is being created. You know, it's fun and exciting. We at Lightspeed like to say we invest in pop culture and companies that are really driving popular change.
Tell me about changing consumer behavior. What are you noticing?
Well, the pandemic has definitely shifted a lot with regards to changing behavior. I actually wrote a very long tweet storm at the beginning of the pandemic saying, hey, let's look at China and let's look at some of the changes of behavior over there and whether those changes will be seen over here. Because sometimes things do come from Asia over to the US.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at cell phones in the Japanese about 10 years ago.
Exactly. Very well said. But you know, it's very new trends like live shopping, right? We never really had live shopping on mobile until the pandemic. Yes, we used to watch HSN and QVC on TV, but people are starting to, you know, cut the cable. People are starting to say, hey, I don't want to pay for cable anymore, but instead I'm going to spend $10 a month on Calm. I'm going to spend $10 a month on Spotify, Netflix. And Reel, which is a really interesting mental health one. And so people are really starting to cut the cable and move to these new trends. And live shopping is definitely one of them, you know, where people are thinking, hey, I want to be able to watch somebody who's really entertaining me and is maybe an influencer who I admire on my phone and be able to transact right then and there on this app.
Nicole, live shopping, I've never heard of it, but then again, I'm not the target demo. So it's like watching somebody play a video game on Twitch, except they're shopping.
That is a good way of thinking about it. And that is definitely an approach that a lot of live stream companies have taken, where you can actually watch somebody else shopping and then you can just copy their purchases. But what I really like is just watching people almost like just tell you why they love a product. So they're showing you their beauty collection and they're saying, hey, this is why I use this particular mascara or lip gloss. And this is why, to me, this brand is better than any. And you're watching them apply it and showing you how to do a pretty cool technique around the eye. And then right then and there, you can just buy that product. So it's this opposite of Amazon, right? Amazon, you're like, I know what I need. I'm going on. I'm transacting.
Whereas give me an example of a live shopping app or a live shopping site or whatnot, so later I can look at it.
It's very funny you say that, because the example I was going to tell you is Whatnot. So I like the fact that that's what you said. There are two really interesting ones, Pop Shop Live and Whatnot, and Loop. And a lot of these companies really focus on collectibles. So the great thing about collectibles is that you can never have enough of them. And so Whatnot sell everything from sports cards to Funko Pops to vintage clothing and sneakers. Pop Shop Live are doing something really fascinating where they're starting to work with boutiques. And these can be child bookstore boutiques. They can be your favorite toy stores in LA. And so think about, you know, when you go to Nashville and you love going to these really cool stores, well, you can now walk around those stores from the comfort of your own home by just going onto the Pop Shop Live app and doing it through there. And then Loop is another one which is focused on collectibles. So there's lots of these that are doing really well.
Are these part of your portfolio or just ones you like?
These are actually just ones I like. Yeah. So always want to be shining a light on fascinating companies, whether they're in our portfolio or not.
You know, I think it's interesting because we've said in the past that younger people tend to be more interested in experience than physical goods. But in this case, there's a physical good involved, but there's also an experience.
Exactly. And that is the complete opposite of Amazon, right? Here, yes. You actually get the experience. You get the fun. You get the entertainment of actually watching this show. And then, hey, you can also buy something afterwards, maybe something you didn't even know you needed, and particularly relevant at Christmas time. You know, we've learned this at Goop, which is one of our Lightspeed portfolio companies, that people love the Christmas gift guide. People want suggestions of what to buy for the person who, you know, you just have no idea what to get them this Christmas if you're anything like me. We've invested in a lot of e-commerce companies, Lady Gaga's House and Goop and The Honest Company. And so that's something that we really lean into when the companies actually suggest what to get around, you know, the holidays or any other times.
You came to Lightspeed through your own startup. What did you see in Lightspeed that convinced you that's the place you wanted to be?
You are absolutely right. I was at business school and I had a wearable technology startup, and I pitched it to a couple of the folks at Lightspeed and I was blown away. I met a lot of different funds up and down Silicon Valley for my startup, but Lightspeed really stood out as very different to the others. And I tell you why. It was because they were true thought partners. You know, we say we support, but we push. And that's exactly what it was like. I felt like they were asking deep questions that were really like enhancing the way that I thought about the company, and focused on like the things that mattered in the business and helping me on like, you know, to move the needle where it matters most. One of my partners, Jeremy Liu, who I just adore, I always say working with Jeremy is like going to the gym. It breaks your muscles down and it builds them up stronger. And that's exactly what happened when I approached them as a founder. I was like, wow, you know, they're breaking down the ideas. They're helping me build them up to be stronger, and helping the company be even better as a result of having Lightspeed on board.
Jeremy Liu is a venture capitalist investing in this new industry. He's been named several times to Forbes' Midas list of a top 100 venture capitalists. I'm just going to briefly step in here and briefly say everyone I know in the venture world likes and admires Jeremy Liu. He's not been on our podcast yet, but I have interviewed him several times for our television show Press Here. We'll have more information about that show at the end of the podcast. All right, let's continue with Nicole and her efforts at Lightspeed. So you're working in a consumer-facing investment. It is amazing to me how resilient the consumer has been over this short period of time. You know, people are griping about the economy in some circles. Inflation is up, but consumer spending is up. Retail sales are up. 4 million people comfortable enough to with their financial position to quit their jobs last month. The consumer space is on fire.
That is exactly what we see.
Let me expound on that a bit for me.
To give you an inside scoop, Cameo. Hopefully folks know Cameo. If not, check out cameo.com. It's an incredible way to get any present for those you love or a gift for yourself, or you get a celebrity to record your message. The beginning of the pandemic, we were so worried. We were like, people are not going to be spending. People are just going to be staying at home. What are we going to do? We put together an Armageddon plan. And then the next month, we realized, people are spending. People are staying at home and they are spending, and people are looking for new ways to entertain each other and themselves. And that's why they turn to Netflix. That's why they turn to Cameo. Really, you know, I would say it's like the future of joy. It's a true entertainment company. And people just really started spending. They got the stimulus checks. Quite often, you know, a lot of people either kept their jobs or maybe moved into a different area. Maybe people were working in a restaurant, but then they moved to a technology company like Instacart. And a lot of these companies did even well because they were even better as a result of the pandemic, because they were able to meet customers where they are and where they need what they need. And so Cameo and others did incredibly well because that's it. They met the customer there and the customer spending has just really been increasing. But I have to tell you, Scott, I think a lot of the customer spending that we see in the technology is going on NFTs and crypto right now.
Is that something in your portfolio in the future?
It's in my portfolio already.
Which one, NFTs or crypto or both?
Well, I actually think a lot of our companies will have an NFT element to them. And my partner, Amy Wu's been investing in a lot of different crypto companies like FTX and many others. And then for me, I invested in a really cool company called FlickPlay. FlickPlay is an app where you can go around a world similar to like a Pokemon Go type scenario. And you go around this world and you collect coins and you can collect shareable art and you can trade this art in an NFT sense with other people. You know, everybody's love for NFTs right now and the belief that you can make a quick buck in a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you can do through FlickPlay.
In order to believe in things like NFTs, I think you need to have sort of an open mind and an open heart that goes away as you get older. Because, you know, at least from my point of view, I think, now, wait, what? What are they doing? But you seem to be willing to have that open mind that this might be something that you, well, you did invest in it, but you're more credible about it, I think. Where does that come from?
Have you ever watched those Black Mirror episodes?
I love Black Mirror.
Exactly. Or Ready Player One, you know, or some of these very futuristic shows. Part of what I love about our job is I think that you learn nuggets of the future because the founders that you meet, they do think like the creators of Ready Player One or Black Mirror, and they just think in such a different way. And part of me when I'm listening to them thinks, even if there is a slight chance that their future becomes the reality, well, that is so different from our reality right now. And at Lightspeed, we always like to invest where there's an existing human behavior and a technology overlay. And that, to me, is really what the metaverse, Web3, and NFTs allows for. Because, hey, we want to meet one another, but we don't always want to do it in person. And we don't always want to have our face on. I mean, right now, you and I are talking on audio. But hey, we can do that through our avatars. We can have our avatars meet one another and, you know, chat from the comfort of our own home. And so I am a big believer that this world, this metaverse world, could become, you know, our world full stop in the future.
There are some people who would roll their eyes at metaverse, et cetera. But then again, you look back and you think, you know, I'm going to invent a thing in which you can only use 140 characters to just declare something to the world. And people would say, well, that sounds kind of dumb. and yet it was not a dumb idea at all with Twitter. That it takes a while, but the first adopters seem to understand something that a lot of us don't.
Completely agree. There's so many wonderful examples of that. I mean, if you and I found out that someone told us 10 years ago there is going to be an electric car company worth $1 trillion.
That's, you know, it's funny. That's my mind went to the exact same thing as you were saying it. Yep.
Exactly. You know, we probably wouldn't have believed them. But like things are just changing so quickly. And if you have, I mean, that Elon Musk, right? It definitely goes back to like an exceptional founder. Is this a founder who has a crazy view of what the world could look like? Yes. And is there a slight chance that that is what the world's going to look like? And now it looks like it's definitely going to be a chart. I think in Europe, you're already saying that they're saying by 2030, it's going to be all electric cars as new cars. So this is the reality. It's no longer crazy. And so there's many examples of that where people think it's crazy. But I mean, think about how much time you spend on your phone now, probably about 6 hours, right? If someone told you 20 years ago, hey, there was going to be this little device that you're going to spend like 8 hours, you know, 10, 12 hours a day on, you wouldn't have believed them. But hey, Apple, Steve Jobs, another person who just thinks it may be a crazy way, but that crazy came true.
Yeah, and you know, Nicole, that goes back to something you had said earlier that really struck me. So I marked it down. Was, you know, the people that are cutting cable and then spending money on things like Calm. I had never thought of Cameo and Calm and Spotify and to some degree Netflix and even DoorDash as almost being channels, because they are ways of entertaining ourselves and we spend money on them.
Nobody has ever described it like that, but you are spot on. Like, I think that's a fascinating way to think about it. It's like, I don't watch TV in the same way I used to. Gosh, you know, when I grew up in England, I'd probably spend 4 or 5 hours a day watching TV as a kid. And now, yes, you know, you're spending half an hour meditating and falling asleep on Calm. Then you're going over to Reel and you're getting your mental health content for that day. Then you're going to Spotify and watching that channel, that program for half an hour. Then you're going to your live shopping channel and having some entertainment and buying something for a friend that Christmas. And so that's exactly the same as you would be when you're flicking through TV channels. But we now just have that, you know, right in our hand.
You named a number of organizations that are headed by celebrities, Lady Gaga, et cetera. How do you, I'm not asking you, what's Lady Gaga really like? How do you work with people who that's not their area of expertise, but they are doing such a good job leading those companies?
I guess we believe something different. We believe that this is one of their areas of expertise. And so when we first met Lady Gaga, that was a question for us. We were like, hey, is beauty an area of expertise for you? And she sat us down and she said, I have three passions in this world: music, acting, and beauty. Beauty was probably my first passion, because I would sit down with my mom and I would put on that makeup and I would mix things. I would take her different makeup and mix them together. And she's like, and now I sit in the dressing room before I'm going on to a show and I'm mixing my things together. And I'm working with my makeup artist and I'm really, you know, she is just the most creative person I've come across. And so she is really creating new, incredible beauty concoctions. And then when we started House with her, House Labs, everything. She has had her paws on absolutely everything in that company. And so Lady Gaga came up with the names of every product. She came up with every color. She's, you know, tested everything, been to the manufacturing labs. She works so closely with the team. She's in the office with them. And so we have an incredible CEO, Ben Jones, who actually was chief digital officer at The Honest Company and before that at Zynga. And he's wonderful, but Lady Gaga's a true partner to him. And another example, hey, Gwyneth Paltrow, one of her areas of expertise is acting, but another one is definitely Goop living. And then if you take Jessica Alba, yes, one of her passions and areas of expertise is acting, but the other one is being a mom and wanting to have like organic products for her children. And so, you know, we're actually working with two others yet to be disclosed, but two other incredible celebrities, which I will be telling you about soon, Scott.
I look forward to that. My last question for you is, somebody told me you are the fastest English woman alive.
Did Jeremy Lou tell you that?
Maybe.
You know, before I hit 18 in England, 21 in America, and discovered alcohol, you are right. That I was very good at a 100-meter sprint. I used to do it at the Nationals in England, and it was a real passion of mine. And I used to do interval training to train for it. And actually, sometimes I say that investing is like interval training. Sometimes you're walking, you're usually jogging, and then sometimes you really got a sprint. And right now in this market, it's definitely a sprint.
Nicole Quinn of Lightspeed Venture Partners. I mentioned the two-man startup Account Story at the start of the podcast. You can find more information about them at accountstory.com. Sandhill Road is produced by Sean Myers under the leadership of Sarah Bueno and Stephanie Adruni. For more interviews with Silicon Valley's most influential entrepreneurs, check me out on TV at Press Here,
That's Sunday mornings on NBC Bay Area and everywhere in the world on iTunes and at PressHereTV.com.